his first working man to captain.
Could be. And he was groundsman when he's, when I was playing. You know, he looked after the kit. He was probably in his 80s. But blimey, he wouldn't he didn't lose a sock or a shirt. There was a spate after a few years ago when the players were pinching the shirts, you know, and they had an awful job to stamp it out. But in his day, he'd go in on Monday morning, first thing, and on Sunday, I expect, and clean all the boots and wash the kit and hang it up ready for the next match. And
did he live in St. Catharines? Did he?
I don't know where he lived, actually.
He was fairly local. Wasn't he?
Yes, he was local. But, and I think he must have been a good player in his day. I think he played various positions, centre, scrum half.
Yeah, he was one of the half-backs.
Yeah.
Because in those days, they played almost like two scrum halves. They had two half-backs, one either side of the scrum.
Yeah.
Whichever side the ball came out, and then they'd feed the centre who would feed the wing. So since you've been an official at the club and president, what sort of things would really sum up the biggest changes?
Of course, during that time they changed the value of the points.
Do you think that made the game more attractive? Or?
It meant you got more tries, but. I mean, that depends on the way they play it. They always accuse Gloucester of being a 10-man rugby team, you know, with a good kicking outside half and a pack of forwards. It was always very unpopular because we were a working man's side. And
you mean you appealed to the working man or you drew your players from...
Well, we the working man supported the club, as you can see if you at Kingsholm. You get tremendous support. And there has never been any sort of distinction between class or colour or anything else. It's creed. You never asked a player what was his religion, except when you took him to hospital. It was the programme that was used to be issued. I don't know how much they charged for it. 1 penny. And that was against sale. We're never all that strong.
No, although they're, as you say, they're a much better side now.
Oh, they're a great side now.
Yeah, very good side.
Hook, Meadows, Waldron, Bowen, Hughes, WT. He was killed in the war. He was an Oxford boy. Parfitt, Teddy Parfitt, he went to Lydney and played for him and then ran the club, made a marvellous, he was a marvellous secretary. And Price Carpenter, Musto, the Bear Morris, Hudson, Thornton, Hughes.
Of course he didn't. Sam Gloucester have...
Yes, Gwillem. Great player.
Yeah, brilliant.
He went to Moseley as a master, and he thought, well, he'd still have a couple of years rugby, so he joined Gloucester. And he was marvellous, he'd play anywhere. Quillan played anywhere. He was the number 8 in the Welsh side, and he captained them, I think, about 7 times, and every match a winner. He had an incredible skill at taking the ball in the line out. And whipping it out to the centres. And he frightened some of our centres because they wouldn't be ready for it. Gordon Hudson went to cricket at Lord's. He was in London. And he met John Gwillem. And John, they had a chat. And John said, well, what about that bloke who sold vegetables? Peter Ford.
Yeah. Well, he was club chairman for
a number of years. Yes, he was captain for 6 years, I think.
This is an interesting.
It's interesting because we lost two players before I.
Standby list.
Yes, before I came. But it was very tragic. They lost two players, and neither of them really needed to have died because the one went home and he split his spleen, and he didn't do anything about it. And of course, I suppose he bled to death. And that was before I came to the club.
That's right. I think one died in 1925 and the other was 1926.
That's right. It was
they were very, very close to each other.
Yes. And there was another player in, just before I came, Sean Wade. He was the Irish wing. And he was playing for Oxford at King's Home. We always played Oxford the match before the varsity match. They wanted them to play a side that would give them a good forward battle. And he was tackled and he split his spleen. But fortunately, Dr. Alcott was there. And he took him to the, I think it was Wootton House, which was a nursing home ran by a group of doctors in those days. They had a surgery in the operating theatre in the Wootton House. And Dr. Alcott operated. He had to get permission from his boy's parents, who lived up in the Midlands. And he operated, and Arthur Hudson and one or two of the others, they waited outside, you know, very worried because he might have died. But he played rugby again, not seriously, as a result of having it dealt with on the spot by a man who knew what the trouble was. And it was a marvel. He used to write to Dr. Alcock every year, for years.